Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. We continue celebrations for another legendary figure who died 4 centuries ago, the same year as Matteo Ricci, 1610. He too being celebrated in a visible manner here in Rome right now, and not just in the city's churches. He's Michelangelo Merisi, better known as Caravaggio, whose masterpieces are featured in an exhibition on the Quirinal Hill right now. But don't worry, I won't be doing the commenting on Caravaggio. I got in touch with my favourite professor of fine arts, Breda Ennis. She begins by taking a look at Caravaggio's Taking of Christ. Breda, so we have this exhibition showing in Rome, the Caravaggio exhibition.
Yes.
For those who don't know, his name was Michelangelo Merisi.
Family came from Caravaggio, a town called Caravaggio, but they actually lived in Milan. And then he left Milan after his father, grandfather and uncle died of the plague. So when you think of it that way, then look at the human aspect behind this man.
But he did a lot of his painting in Rome, didn't he?
Yes, he did some in Milan, which most of which has disappeared. It's divided into 4 stages, really. The Milan area stage, where there's almost nothing left. And the early Roman period, where he painted smaller works like Bacchus and things like that. Then a later Roman period, when he had big commissions for paintings for churches. And then the last stage is when he's on the run, where he does a lot of work down in Messina, down in Sicily, and then on the way back in Naples as well. It's all in a space of 18 years, if you think about it.
And he died in 1610.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Breda, we're going to speak about the Capture of Christ, mm-hmm. which is one of the paintings on show at the Scuderia Quirinale right now. It's actually a painting that was discovered very late, very recently rather.
Yes,
indeed. Ireland. In your home country.
Yes, exactly.
The Jesuits were hiding it away.
Well, they didn't know they were hiding it away. It's only when an expert came by to do an inventory of the paintings that they had in the building that they actually found out that this was actually not a copy of a Caravaggio, but an original. And now it's obviously in the National Gallery of Ireland. Mm. But it's a magnificent piece. And also, probably they did some restoration of it.
Mm. Shall we just describe it a bit so our listeners have an idea of mm-hmm. what we're actually virtually looking at?
Yeah. So if you're looking at a background of browns and blacks, which is one of the general features of most of Caravaggio's paintings, he tends not to find a nice little room to have scenes happening, or a nice little garden of Gethsemane or whatever. In this particular case, it would be the garden. He doesn't actually give you the location. He gives you what's happening across time. And in this I find very interesting, because he's taking the action out of its context, but he's giving you the message very, very strongly. He's making it really universal in a sense. And here in the forefront, you have two figures who are locked together, surrounded by, let's say, drapery of red robes, one of which comes from a figure on the left-hand side who's fleeing from the scene, running away, open-mouthed, shocked, escaping. And a part of that robe is swung back over the shoulder and covers the head of Judas and Christ. And Christ himself also is wearing a deeper red robe. So you have this sort of mass of red surrounding the two central figures. And then into these central figures, you have the arm of one of the soldiers, who is actually the first figure in the foreground. So you have this foreground taken up by this massive soldier.
An armed soldier wearing
a helmet and armour. And right beside them, there's another figure wearing a helmet as well. And right behind them, in the background, there is a man holding a lantern. And the light from this lantern is shining on the face of the person. And they believe it's a self-portrait of Caravaggio himself. So he's looking in on the scene from the back, like standing up on his tippy toes, lifting the light up to see what's happening. But all the tension is in the hand of the soldier who grabs the arm of Christ and is obviously about to pull him away, arrest him and take him away for execution. Judas, with a lot of wrinkles in his face and a long beard and dressed in gold, is giving him the kiss of betrayal. and looking at him intensely. Now, which is in deep contrast to the face of Christ. Christ is looking downwards, not looking at Judas. And what's fascinating here is he has a blue robe wrapped around the red robe that he's wearing. And in front, you can see his two hands where all the fingers are locked. So he knows what's going to happen. He has accepted what's going to happen. And he knows this is the moment where the great act of sacrifice for salvation is about to begin in the reality and the hard reality of being executed and humiliated. And he knows this. So on his face, you can see the knowledge of what is about to come, but also a meek acceptance. It's very moving, the expression on his face. And it also contrasts wildly with the action of the person on the left running away and with her mouth open, hands in the air. You can see even the muscles and you can see the veins on the hand of the soldier who's grabbing onto Christ's arm. Raphael was one of the first people to paint this type of armour and paint it so well. But Caravaggio manages to try and pull all of this in together. You have a kind of a line. At the bottom you have hands and the bodies, and the top part you have heads. So you have six figures, head of the person running away. Next to that is Christ. Next to Christ is Judas. Then you have two soldiers with helmets. And then behind that you have Caravaggio, let's say the self-portrait of Caravaggio. Now, in the light, it falls in strange kind of places. For example, there's a light on the hands of Christ. There is a light on the forehead of Christ. And also, strangely enough, on the forehead of Judas, but less light. And then it's hitting off the armour, so it's all sort of shiny, and hitting off, obviously, at the background, the face of Caravaggio. Now, generally, Caravaggio, when he's talking about light and when he's painting light, tries to sanctify light because he doesn't have it coming from any particular area. He just puts light exactly where he feels like putting it, whether he's putting it between figures, on top of maybe their arm or hitting on somebody's hand. The main protagonist generally has less light, but in this particular painting, there is more light than usual on the main figure, which obviously is the figure of Christ. So you get this incredible kind of look of amazement on the face of the figure, the self-portrait of Caravaggio, looking on with trepidation, I would say. He's looking at what's happening. And in a way, he's like us, looking on to this particular scene, a little bit terrified, a little bit fearful, a little bit amazed. And also, he can see the power of the aggression on the part of soldiers and Judas who are about to take Christ. And on the other side, just beside him, you have this quiet acceptance, peaceful acceptance of his destiny, Christ's destiny. And also, you can feel on the shoulders of Christ and on the way he's angled his head, the weight of what he's carrying, which is mankind and its salvation.
And many thanks there to Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, who is currently teaching at the American University of Rome. Breda, an artist herself, as you may have gathered, will be back again at this same time next week to comment on another of Caravaggio's masterpieces. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.